This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. A special edition of Overtime. We got the Stallion here with us. That's how big this show was. We had to go in and take from Grant and Danny. We've got a couple minutes before we get to Charlie Castle. Let's go to Little. Little on three. What's up, Little?
Doc, legend. Shout out to Metal, man. Hey, look. Hey, Doc. I know Coach and Butch and the big fella up there shaking their head, man. Hey, Doc, what these teams doing with this short three-point line, man? The whole team shooting 3 points, man. The team they facing, man, they running them. They running them, Doc, and that's why I was saying that cohesiveness, man. If it was up to me, I had the whole starting five, at least the starting four from the Celtics for the cohesive part. Because, see, man, these teams going to push, man. And look, Embiid, man, he's two steps late, man. He can't run with these boys out there, Doc. I'm saying, and then you talking about my man, the king. He came through last night, but he tied around, and they waiting on KD. Man, they got to go get Brown, man, for the cohesiveness, man. Now, he probably don't even want to come up now. Come on, man. That's why I say, Doc, you know what, man? I'm a little skeptical. And yesterday I hit a five-leg parlay because the WNBA, and the fan dude jumped out there and had him under. The under was 180. But then by the time the game started, that's why yesterday I jumped on the over and under because it was only 180. Because when the game came on, they bumped it up to 220. Man, look, I'm looking good, Doc. And look, one other thing, man, y'all don't forget about James Brown, Warner Wolf. Shout out to both of them. And my man Dave Johnson, Doc, when he was a rookie, he was calling the Bullets games on the radio. And another shout out to my man Glenn Consul. I'm 4-0 on the trivia question, man, with my man Glenn. They got to recognize Glenn. Glenn, local boy, American University.
Appreciate
I love you, Doc.
Little,
God bless
deal,
you, man.
Good deal. To break, we go. When we come back, man, this is the man that deserves a Netflix special on his life, his game plan. That is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are among the luckiest guys in broadcast. Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame Day. We've had one of the recent inductees going in, Dave Johnson. And now we get one of my favorites, Charlie Casserly, who, if he doesn't get the next big Netflix deal to do his life in there, then I'm not who I think I am. Because this should be a home run. Chaz, the hardest working dude I've ever come in contact with, who turned a dream into reality. And now he goes in and will be inducted today, and he's with us now. Charlie, thank you. And how are you?
Great, Doc. Hey, appreciate coming on with you and appreciate all you've done for D.C. sports and especially that Washington football team, right?
Well,
where we call them now.
Yeah,
so anyway.
You know what we call them? We call them hopeful.
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
we call them hopeful. And it kind of reminds me back in the day, maybe at a similar time, where they're trying to mix up that secret sauce as it was back in the day with you and Bobby and all the guys that were there at the time, early 80s, when you were mixing up that secret sauce with our crew. And I look at this as a clean start, but I'm dying to get your evaluation. Ryan and I are sitting here thinking, what is Charlie's thoughts on all the new changes now, and does this appear to be anything similar to back in the day when you and Bobby and all the guys got together and created that gumbo that worked for so long?
Well, I don't know if we can draw similarities until we see what they do.
Okay.
I think it starts with ownership.
Right.
Okay. And all I've heard is good things about the new ownership group, especially the principal owner. So that's a positive right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a little parallel that Jack Kent Cook was in hockey and basketball before he came into football.
Right.
But he was in football for almost 20 years, okay, as a minority partner of the football team. So it wasn't as if he was a stranger to this thing, okay?
Right.
He was instrumental in George Allen being hired. He was involved in Lombardi being hired. So he certainly had some involvement, not as much as he had when he became the principal owner. So it starts with there, the support and the vision and the patience. Obviously, owning the Philadelphia 76ers and winning 9 games in a year, you got to have a lot of patience to go through that.
Yep.
So there's a positive there. I've known Dan Quinn a long time. I think Dan is a great culture builder. He's taken a team to the Super Bowl. Yes, they got beat, but he did learn some things from that. So did Kyle Shanahan, who was his offensive coordinator, learned some things from that. But he took a team to the Super Bowl. There wasn't a regular team, so regular team going. So he knows how to build a team. He knows how to build chemistry. Joe Gibbs hired a tremendous staff, okay? And Doc, you knew that, okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if a lot of other people knew it when he did it, but yes, they did to a degree. Dick Vermeil made a comment after he saw the names on the staff. He says, uh-oh, they got a hell of a staff down there. So we'll see how the staff develops. I there's a lot of good ones I know on the staff. I don't know everybody. So it's the staff. And then, building a team now is a little bit different because you can't keep everybody together. But the fundamental things are the same. You know, develop a culture, okay? What's your identity as a team, right? And then hold the players accountable. And you're going to have different personalities. We know that. So then you have to bring talent in to help them. So the fundamentals of building a winning team aren't any different, okay? I like the head coach. I like the coaches that I know he's got on the staff. I think they're good coaches. I don't know everybody. And everything I've heard about the owner is positive. So I think there should be a lot of enthusiasm. I think it's been a dark shadow over the team for a long time. That's been lifted.
How much did you learn being in a part, active part of the media as you pull that one off smooth as silk as well? Not everybody does that, but you did it. How much did it teach you?
Well, I'll give you a funny story, okay? One is not funny. When I was 25 years old, I was a high school coach. And I read this book about media relations. And it said an informed media is the best thing you can do. So as a general manager and as an assistant, I always felt I wanted the media to be informed. I would tell you what I could tell you on the record. And as you know, I would say a lot of things off the record. Nothing to hurt the team, but put you in a position that you could do your job. And I think that was important. Okay, I didn't care what anybody said about me or wrote about me, but I wanted them to at least ask me. Okay, then they'd know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Right? And if they disagree with it, disagree with it. Okay?
Okay,
so I'll give you two stories. See, the first one is I'm in the owner's box with Mr. Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And the senator from Maine, Mr. George Mitchell, I believe it was, says to me, he says, boy, you do a great job with the media. You say a lot and you don't say anything. So, like a wise. And I said, I was. I said, he says, where'd you learn? I says, listening to you. the point I'm making is I listened. I listened to what other people would say and how they'd say it. And, you know, politicians, they don't have to answer the question. They just give a speech. Well, mm-hmm. Can't always give a speech. So basically, I tried to be politically correct, okay, but learned a way to say things that didn't hurt the team and weren't direct. Okay, and then the other half of it is criticism. One time I'm getting my butt criticized in the Post, and so is Mr. Cook in the Post, same day. He calls me up, Doc, and he says, how you doing? I says, oh, I'm fine. He says, they're getting after me, aren't they? I says, I know that, Mr. Cook. He says, we know it's all lies. He says, absolutely. He says, Charles, remember one thing. Criticism's like being in the rain. Now I'm messing it up. Criticism's like being in the rain. Once you've been wet, what's another blanket drop anyway? Right? So those are my lessons, okay? I listened to the politicians, and I took Mr. Cook's advice on not taking it and not worrying about it. So that's basically how I got to where I was as far as being able to handle the media. Charlie
deal with the media, not him.
Yeah, I like it.
Charlie Casley here with Doc Walker and Ryan Clary here on 106.7 The Fan. Charlie, when you look at over the last year, because a year ago today, Josh Harris was named and was introduced to the Commander's owner here in town, but obviously as you've seen it, you've covered it from the national media perspective as well, the Commander's rebrand. If you kind of look at it, because this has kind of been a hot topic over time here, how do you think this rebrand has gone here, even in D.C., but also at a national level where you are covering this team and you have seen it from many different perspectives over the years, but how do you feel as if that this rebrand has gone so far?
Well, I think you got to give it some time to be able to answer that question. I think Josh Harris has made a positive impact. Obviously, the fans wanted a change. I think they sold out the first game and sold out most of the games last year just as a result of the change of ownership. The team was the team, and the stadium was the stadium. So those things didn't really change. Now Josh Harris has a chance to hire his own people, hire his own head coach. I think he's got a strong front office. He's got three general managers in there to an extent. He's got Scott Peters, and he's got Scott Fitterer, and he's got Martin Mayhew. So he's got three general managers in a sense. But he's got a lot of leadership in there is what he has and experience in football. All right, and then Dan Quinn, like I said, he's an experienced head coach. Dan took himself out of running the last couple of years. Otherwise, he would have had other jobs. I know that for a fact in talking to teams. This year, he decided he was going to take a job. Okay, and I think they made a good decision in hiring Dan Quinn. So I think from that point of view, they're doing the right thing. All right? I can't tell you what they're doing. I've seen they're going to try to improve the stadium, which is good. They got to put money into it. Okay, it's a losing proposition to do it, but it's even worse if you don't do it because it's a reflection of the ownership. I think they're trying to do everything they can to be positive with the fan base. But I don't think nationally people pay a lot of attention, to be honest with you. I think here, of course, they do pay attention. There's a tremendous fan base here. It's a sleeping giant. They used to say when we won, the government operated more efficiently on Mondays. And I think there's some truth to that. I really do. So we need to win for all of us. That's how I think you got to give it time. They're checking all the right boxes is what I look at. They drafted a quarterback and so with the second pick in the draft, which the consensus is that was an excellent pick. But that's all you can do right there.
2024 inductee into the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame, Charlie Casserly. Charlie, when I watched and listened to you, and then I looked at the Netflix, this off-season deal with New York and the front office, and I wonder, how would Charlie handle that if he were general manager and they were bringing cameras in? And can you effectively do what you need to do under the watchful eye of the HBO cameras?
Well, number one, we nixed it. Obviously, when I was with Washington, they never really came around. Houston's an expansion team. They wanted to come right in. And myself and Dom Capers, the head coach, said no. Now, obviously, the marketing department was died for it.
Right.
Okay. But the owner was great.
Smart.
He backed us.
Right.
I can't imagine doing it. Now, can you do it? Yeah, you could do anything, Doc. Because the one thing about NFL films is you can trust them to only put on the air what you want, and you get to edit it before it goes on. That's what the way I was really told to be done. So you can manage that part of it. But, you're sitting there with a player exiting, and you have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a camera in there.
I don't care
what the editing's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay? There's going to be confidential things that you know you're not going to say on television.
Yeah.
Can you say stage probably isn't the right word, but there's a lot of things you can say
right
to your scouting staff, to your general manager in meetings that can be said in a way that it's not going to hurt you. The irony of this, we're in Houston, we're open up against Dallas, which is that's a big rivalry between two cities. And we got them in the first game, see? I think they picked us. So, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And we had practiced against them and they actually beat us in the scrimmage, but we had our backups and they had their starters in. Okay? So we didn't do that to set them up. It's just the way it came. And then we picked some things out of that video that they did for NFL Films that Dom Capers put up on the board the night before the game. Like, you know, what Joe did in the 91 when he put up the defensive line coach from Buffalo mocking the Hawks.
Yep.
Okay? And you know the pride they have in that.
Big mistake.
Once they saw that, those eyes were so big and the jaw was set, the game was over right there.
That's it.
So, you know, we had an expansion team, everybody from anywhere. But they still had pride. They're still professional football players. And they were mocked in these comments. Well, bang, you know, we went out and shocked the world. We beat them. First time an expansion team won an Oprah in 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to my last breath not to do it. If we did it, okay, I'd trust them, but then I wouldn't trust them. I'd make sure the tough conversations they never saw.
Absolutely.
It's too dangerous.
Yep, and you would get a fun bunch high five from me and Ryan and everybody else. Charlie, proud of you. Can't wait to see your induction here within the hour, and thank you for doing this. And, again, congratulations from all of us.
All right, Doc, again, thank you, and your station has done a great job through all the years. I'm in Florida now, so I don't hear it, but I always appreciate it. And, Doc, I appreciate all you did. You know, it was a team effort. We needed
Absolutely.
Everybody to win. And you got some rings to prove it.
Absolutely. And thanks to you, brother. I appreciate everything you do and your honesty. Charlie Cassidy,
right,
the latest inductee to the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame. And thank you, Chaz. We'll go to break on that heavy metal. Crank it up. Heavy metal on Vibes. Wow. If you missed any of what we've been fortunate enough to do today, hit the Odyssey line. Rewind. Always free, always available on the Odyssey app. It's been a marvelous day. We are blessed with great weather. The Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame. About to roll out the red carpet. We've had two of the inductees join us. Dave Johnson, of course, Charlie Cassidy, and the Big Bopper will be coming up with us shortly. Zim, zim, zim. But before then, we get a chance to hit the lines again. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Ashburn. John, hello?
Today is Butch McAdam's birthday. You there?
Yes, sir. Frazier, I got you. Coach Butch's
okay.
birthday
today,
in heavenly. Yes.
Yeah.
We give him a heavenly blessing.
The annual picnic that Butch created for the athletes in action. Noon, starting right now at 11 o'clock, where all the great athletes from the D.C. area will be coming together. They came together every year, but this will be a special one since Butch isn't going to be there.
Well, that's beautiful. We hope we encourage anybody close by, stop by, and encourage, donate, do whatever you can to help keep Coach's vision alive. Appreciate you, Frazier.
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up.
Okay, Butch.
Good deal. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, good deal.
Bye-bye.
John in Ashburn. Let's see if we can squeeze John in. John, you available?
Yeah. You All said right. my name and then hung up on me.
No, brother. That was my mistake. My bad.
No worries.
Okay.
Hey, first time caller to your show, but I've been saving a specific question waiting to talk to you.
All right.
Because I appreciate an old school kind of eye test mentality. So I was reading something a while back about talking about Washington O-line and where the sacks came from last year and where our biggest needs were. And what it did is it compared our pressure percentage versus the rest.
Heavy metal on Vibes. Wow. If you missed any of what we've been fortunate enough to do today, hit the Odyssey line. Rewind. Always free. Always available on the Odyssey app. It's been a marvelous day. We are blessed with great weather. The Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame. About to roll out the red carpet. We've had two of the inductees join us. Dave Johnson, of course, Charlie Cassidy, and the Big Bopper will be coming up with us shortly. Zim, zim, zim. But before then, we get a chance to hit the lines again. 1-800-636-1067. Is the number. Let's go to Ashburn. John, hello?
Today is Butch McAdam's birthday. You there?
Yes, sir. Frazier, I got you. Coach Butch's
okay.
birthday
today,
in heavenly. Yes.
Yeah.
We give him a heavenly blessing.
The annual picnic that Butch created for the athletes in action. Noon, starting right now at 11 o'clock. Where all the great athletes from the D.C. area will be coming together. They came together every year, But this will be a special one since Butch isn't going to be there.
Well, that's beautiful. We hope we encourage anybody close by, stop by, and encourage, donate, do whatever you can to help keep Coach's vision alive. Appreciate you, Frazier.
Yeah.
Thanks for the heads up.
Okay, Butch.
Good deal. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, good deal.
Bye-bye.
John in Ashburn. Let's see if we can squeeze John in. John, you available?
Yeah, you all said right. My name and then hung up on me.
No, brother. That was my mistake. My bad.
No worries.
Okay.
Hey, first time caller to your show, but I've been saving a specific question waiting to talk to you.
All right.
Because I appreciate an old school kind of eye test mentality. So I was reading something a while back about talking about Washington O-line and where the sacks came from last year and where our biggest needs were. And what it did is it compared our pressure percentage versus the rest of the league. And based on that, it said our center ranked 32 out of 32. And it said our next worst position versus the rest of the league was guard, with obviously a clear difference between Cosme, our right guard, and our left guard. It said our left guard was pretty much one of the worst in the league as well. And then lastly, it said our tackles, you know, left tackle are ranked 16th out of 32. And if you took Leno out and put Lucas in for the chunk of games he played, ranked 16th out of 32. And then Wiley is 20th out of 32. So my questions are, first, does that pass the eye test for you? Second, Josh Harris being a big statistics guy, do you think that's what drove his first two upgrades to the line, being center and left guard? And third, do you see if Coleman doesn't beat out the left tackle, win the left tackle battle, do you see him getting either the right tackle or guard position before the season's over to put our best offensive line at the same time?
I appreciate
about the
call.
Long setup. But,
No. In all due respect, that is something that I don't, and I'm glad you identified this early on. I don't think like others think. And most of that stuff to me, I don't pay any attention to that. Because if a man holds the ball too long in his hands, it throws all of those theories out of the window. It makes him irrelevant to me. There was only one problem with that. Your quarterback did not have the ability to get rid of the ball. If he gets rid of the ball, everything's different. Now, I don't mean that makes it great. Or not. All I'm saying is that it was a horrible way to evaluate people when your problem is the quarterback. Now, if you want to do this for yourself, to make yourself feel good, then go ahead and do it. But to me, it's just a waste of my time, and I don't waste my time that way. There's too many other things I can be focused on that are fun. That's not fun to me. That's driving yourself off a cliff because you just want to die. So all that's over now. We're done. We got new people that are bright enough to figure out they're not going to let one person kill their whole program. If the guy doesn't get rid of the ball, they'll get rid of the guy. So now we can evaluate people, and I think these people are much better than they were evaluated last year simply because of that one thing. But we won't know. Well, I won't know, nor will I ever mention anything until I see them in pads. I don't evaluate swimmers that are not in water. And I don't do football without them in pads in full contact.
Yeah, I think with a better scheme, you know, better balance between run and pass and not holding the ball so long, I kind of have a little bit of guarded hope that we can have at least an average offensive line, because I think we got a fringe top 10 center
or better.
A top 10 right guard. And
I don't know. I just know that
I think at least an average tackle group.
Well, you can make it anything you want to make it until you actually see it. How do you evaluate a swimmer that's not in water?
You don't.
Well, you don't. Well, maybe some people can. I don't know. I'm not against anybody. Y'all do whatever the hell you want to do. We're in a fantasy world now. You can fantasize about anything you want to. I don't. I don't evaluate football players until they're in full pads, in competitive environments, competing against everybody that is live, not artificially manipulated for a practice. That's just me. Appreciate your phone call. You know, and Stallion, you do this for a living like I do. How else do you do it? How do you evaluate people that are doing make-believe simulations?
It's tough to at this point in time.
Nobody, there's not a DB in the world that will go full speed against this, a number one receiver in the league in practice, because they know if they go in there and crash this dude up, they're cut or they're going to be disciplined. It's an offensive drill. They should succeed. Mm-hmm. If they don't succeed on air, we're in big trouble.
that is the point that you look at going into training camp.
They're on air.
Like, you got to see what happens.
And they're good enough to do that.
Of course.
And the talent is worthy of that. But let's not lose our minds and talk ourselves into something that just flat out is embarrassing. To me, it's embarrassing. But, you know, don't let that stop you, though. Continue to embarrass yourself if that's what you want to do. Yeah. And then when the real stuff happens, I'll be more than happy to break it down for you. Old school style, which is really the only school, because you either win or you lose. If you want a loser evaluation, then be my guest. But you won't get it while I'm on. To break we go. Stay with us. Well, Ryan, this is a very special moment for both of us.
Mm.
We get a big chance, big fans of the Cavaliers, and we get a chance to bring in a Cavalier. That's how we know him, you know, from a number of things that he's done. But he's going up with the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame, and when you the shirt I'm wearing is indicative of that, 2019 World Championship. And you can't say that without saying Ryan Zimmerman. Zim joins us now. Cavalier, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, man, excited for you, excited for this team, and just the fact that you are dealing with this part of your life now when you can't put a bat in your hand and get in the box, and you got to help them now from afar. How's that adjustment going?
Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, I think the hardest thing to replicate when you retire or when you're done is, you know, that competition, that, you know, that situation that gets the juices flowing. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. So, but I'm lucky enough, I live 20 minutes or so I can stay involved. And, you know, this year I've just been around a little bit more and just trying to learn, you know, the other side of the game a little bit and still be around the players and just kind of do whatever I can to get that baseball fix that I need, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, you have been many firsts here in Washington, D.C. as with the Nationals organization. You were the first draft pick here for the Washington Nationals. You were the first Washington National to hit a home run mm-hmm. in the World Series for this team. And now you're the first Washington National to go into the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame. So what does that mean to you? How was the call like making sure that you're the first National here in the Sports Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's a huge honor. I think, you know, obviously anytime you get an award like this, and especially in a city that has as much history with all its teams as Washington, D.C. does, it's a huge honor and, you know, obviously something that I'm very proud of and humbled to be a part of. So it's it'll be a cool day, and I'm excited to see all the other honorees as well.
You know, Ryan, I think the craziest thing is that while you're still in shape, how you wrestle with the fact of you being retired. Part of the thing of putting on a few is that it kind of settles you. But when you still like Adonis, and are you still running? I mean, how much training are you doing? Do you get in the cage? Do you swing? I really would like to know how active are you with baseball.
So I can be honest, I don't swing that much.
Okay, all right.
Baseball stuff, I'm okay with sort of letting go. But, okay. You know, I'm a creature of habit, and honestly, I think, you know, physical activity, working out, staying in shape is more of a, you know, a mental thing for me now than a physical thing. You know, I did it my entire life. And, you know, that's, you know, kind of, it's what pushes us. It's what keeps me sane. I need something like that. And, you know, to be able to be home and kind of actually live a normal human schedule has been somewhat refreshing. You know, I'm eating dinner at 6 o'clock with my kids every night instead of eating at 11:30 or midnight after a game. And I can actually, I go to sleep at a decent hour, whether my kids let me sleep all night or not is a different story. But, you know, so it's definitely an adjustment, but, you know, me, my wife, my kids, we're very active. We like being outside. We like doing things. So, you know, for that part of it, I try and stay in shape just so I can keep up keep up with them. I have the unique ability to be around and be with my kids at this age. So I'm trying to do everything I can to keep up with them now, to be honest with you.
And Zim, we see you actually, like, when I'm here for batting practice mm-hmm. for Grant and Danny, we see you taking ground balls over at first base, mm-hmm. just kind of hanging around the guys, being a shoulder for these young guys to lean on. And you see one of your former teammates, Sean Doolittle, who's now with Davey Martinez and mm-hmm. the staff. Is that something that you could envision yourself seeing down the line, being a part of this organization, maybe as a coach or something in a larger figure in that role? What do you kind of make of that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what I'm sort of trying to figure out. And, you know, my kids, my girls are 10 and 8, and my boys are 4 and 2 and a half. So, you know, they're still a little young for me to be gone and me to commit as much time as it would take to really be involved as far as something like what Sean is doing or to that extent. But, you know, I'm around, I think this year I'll be around 55 or 60 days, which gives me a chance to be around enough to gain the trust of the players and to actually create relationships so that we can have meaningful conversations instead of, you know, you can't show up once a month and expect these guys to confide in you or to talk to you about things. You have to really earn their trust and put the time in just like they do. So this has been a good year for me to kind of, you know, start doing that without having to be away from my kids and my family as much. But, you know, I think down the road, you know, it's definitely something I want to do. You know, what I've kind of talked to people that end up getting involved is they say the smartest thing you could do is not get out of the game. It's so much harder to get back in the game once you've gotten out. If you can stay in, even if it's not as, you know, a ton of days per year, at least you're still involved and you're still in. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do and honestly learn as much about the other side and things I didn't know about when I was playing. And it's been honestly a really fun year. And, you know, I've been, you know, very lucky to just be able to do what I've been able to do.
That's a great recipe. If you get a chance to coach your kids and coach locally and do that, priceless.
Yep.
But the pro association is something that lifestyle, you'll still be involved with your kids. There's nothing you'll ever do that'll bring you more satisfaction than coaching them and being around them as they grow. But then they'll leave you. So you might as well get ready for
yeah.
that so that you've got that safe landing place while they're in college doing their thing that you can thrive at and give back the gift that you have, which is connecting with people and helping people become champions. Because that's what it's all about. And that's the drive that you have, my friend. And we're so proud of you. And I want you to enjoy today. We'll all be watching. And thank you for joining us and taking time out of your day, man. As Coach Thompson said all the time, you're simply one of the best. And go for it. Enjoy your day.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always nice talking with you guys. And, yeah, as you know, it's a great city to play sports in. And, you know, I consider myself lucky to have been able to do it. So I appreciate it. And hopefully I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hope so. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a good day.
Ryan Zimmerman, Cavalier, champion.
All time.
All time. And I hope to goodness that he stays connected with this organization and does that. And he's right to do it the right way. The kids are young, the boys are, and, you know, because your family sacrifices so much while you're doing what you do, so you got to reinvest in that. But to make a living with a pro franchise that you played for and won with, I don't know how you top that.
I know, and it's, you know, with James Wood in town here, it's been a big talk around here.
Yeah.
He's been the local kid coming up, being a top prospect.
Yeah.
All the pressure around him. So seeing yeah. Ryan Zimmerman now, part of this organization, you yeah. know, you see him here at the park nearly every week at this point in time. So
yeah.
having James Wood has an outlet like Ryan Zimmerman, I think it's going to be very
priceless.
Important
priceless.
Over the next few months.
For the young kids coming up, it's only a nitwit breaks connections with people in the organization. We saw that happen with the Burgundy and Gold. Why would you do that? I mean, why would you do that? They had, you know, so. With that, we'll go to break. We'll get ready to share, I guess, with our public right now. You guys have been very patient. We were able to get three of the inductees going in, and that was awesome. Shout out to Heavy Metal Chris. He's back in our studios. We might pull off even a bigger treat in about 30 minutes or so if we can broadcast this whole ceremony for all of you that have been patient. Stick and stay with us. We'll be right back. That's how we know him, you know, from a number of things that he's done. But he's going up with the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame. And when you the shirt I'm wearing is indicative of that, what, 2019 World Championship. And you can't say that without saying Ryan Zimmerman. Zim joins us now. Cavalier, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, man, excited for you. Excited for this team, and just the fact that you are dealing with this part of your life now when you can't put a bat in your hand and get in the box, and you got to help them now from afar. How's that adjustment going?
Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, I think the hardest thing to replicate when you retire or when you're done is, you know, that competition, that, you know, that situation that gets the juices flowing. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. So, but I'm lucky enough. I live 20 minutes or so I can stay involved. And, you know, this year I've just been around a little bit more and just trying to learn, you know, the other side of the game a little bit and still be around the players and just kind of do whatever I can to get that baseball fix that I need, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, you have been many firsts here in Washington, D.C. as with the Nationals organization. You were the first draft pick here for the Washington Nationals. You were the first Washington National to hit a home run in the World Series for this team. And now you're the first Washington National to go into the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall of Fame. So what does that mean to you? How was the call like making sure that you're the first National here in the Sports Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's a huge honor. I think, you know, obviously anytime you get an award like this, and especially in a city that has as much history with all its teams as Washington, D.C. does, it's a huge honor and, you know, obviously something that I'm very proud of and humbled to be a part of. So it's it'll be a cool day, and I'm excited to see all the other honorees as well.
You know, Ryan, I think the craziest thing is that while you're still in shape, how you wrestle with the fact of you being retired. Part of the thing of putting on a few is that it kind of settles you. But when you still like Adonis, and are you still running? I mean, how much training are you doing? Do you get in the cage? Do you swing? I really would like to know how active are you with baseball.
So I can be honest, I don't swing that much.
Okay, all right.
Baseball stuff, I'm okay with sort of letting go. But, okay. You know, I'm a creature of habit, and honestly, I think, you know, physical activity, working out, staying in shape is more of a, you know, a mental thing for me now than a physical thing. You know, I did it my entire life. And, right. You know, that's, you know, kind of, it's what pushes us. It's what keeps me sane. I need something like that. And, you know, to be able to be home and kind of actually live a normal human schedule has been somewhat refreshing. You know, I'm eating dinner at 6 o'clock with my kids every night instead of eating at 11:30 or midnight after a game. And I can actually, I go to sleep at a decent hour, whether my kids let me sleep all night or not is a different story. But, you know, so it's definitely an adjustment, but, you know, me, my wife, my kids, we're very active. We like being outside. We like doing things. So, you know, for that part of it, I try and stay in shape just so I can keep up with them. I have the unique ability to be around and be with my kids at this age. So I'm trying to do everything I can to keep up with them now, to be honest with you.
And Zim, we see you actually, like when I'm here for batting practice mm-hmm. for Grant and Danny, we see you taking ground balls over at first base, mm-hmm. just kind of hanging around the guys, being a shoulder for these young guys to lean on. And you see one of your former teammates, Sean Doolittle, who's now with Davey Martinez and mm-hmm. the staff. Is that something that you could envision yourself seeing down the line, being a part of this organization, maybe as a coach or something in a larger figure in that role? What do you kind of make of that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what I'm sort of trying to figure out. And, you know, my kids, my girls are 10 and 8, and my boys are 4 and 2 and a half. So, you know, they're still a little young for me to be gone and me to commit as much time as it would take to really be involved as far as something like what Sean is doing or to that extent. But, you know, I'm around, I think this year I'll be around 55 or 60 days. which gives me a chance to be around enough to gain the trust of the players and to actually create relationships so that we can have meaningful conversations instead of, you know, you can't show up once a month and expect these guys to confide in you or to talk to you about things. You have to really earn their trust and put the time in just like they do. So this has been a good year for me to kind of, you know, start doing that without having to be away from my kids and my family as much. But, you know, I think down the road, you know, it's definitely something I want to do. You know, what I've kind of talked to people that end up getting involved is they say the smartest thing you could do is not get out of the game. It's so much harder to get back in the game once you've gotten out. If you can stay in, even if it's not as, you know, a ton of days per year, at least you're still involved and you're still in. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do and honestly learn as much about the other side and things I didn't know about when I was playing. And it's been honestly a really fun year. And, you know, I've been, you know, very lucky to just be able to do what I've been able to do.
That's a great recipe. If you get a chance to coach your kids and coach locally and do that, priceless.
Yep.
But the pro association is something that lifestyle, you'll still be involved with your kids. There's nothing you'll ever do that'll bring you more satisfaction than coaching them and being around them as they grow. But then they'll leave you. So you might as well get ready for
yeah.
that so that you've got that safe landing place while they're in college doing their thing that you can thrive at and give back the gift that you have, which is connecting with people and helping people become champions. Because that's what it's all about. And that's the drive that you have, my friend. And we're so proud of you. And I want you to enjoy today. We'll all be watching. And thank you for joining us and taking time out of your day, man. As Coach Thompson said all the time, you're simply one of the best. And go for it. Enjoy your day.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always nice talking with you guys. And, yeah, it's a, as you know, it's a great city to play sports in. And, you know, I consider myself lucky to have been able to do it. So I appreciate it. And hopefully I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hope so. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a good day.
Ryan Zimmerman, Cavalier, champion.
All time.
All time. And I hope to goodness that he stays connected with this organization and does that. And he's right to do it the right way. The kids are young. The boys are. And, you know, because that family, because your family sacrifices so much while you're doing what you do. So you got to reinvest in that. But to make a living with a pro franchise that you played for and won with, I don't know how you top that.
I know, and it's, you know, with James Wood in town here, it's been a big talk around here.
Yeah.
He's been the local kid coming up, being a top prospect,
yeah.
All the pressure around him. So seeing Ryan Zimmerman now, part of this organization, you know, you see him here at the park nearly every week at this point in time. So having James Wood has an outlet like Ryan Zimmerman, I think it's going to be very
priceless
over the next few months.
For the young kids coming up, it's only a nitwit breaks connections with people in the organization. We saw that happen with the Burgundy and Gold. Why would you do that? I mean, why would you do that? They had, you know, so let's go to, with that, we'll go to break. We'll get ready to share, I guess, with our public right now. You guys have been very patient. We were able to get three of the inductees going in, and that was awesome. Shout out to Heavy Metal Chris. He's back in our studios. We might pull off even a bigger treat in about 30 minutes or so if we can broadcast this whole ceremony for all of you that have been patient. Stick and stay with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.